May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each of us. Amen. Today we are reading the word from the book of Judges, and we take chapter 13. We were supposed to read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, we are only going to take 5 verses. Judges, chapter 13. I read from 1 until 5. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord gave them into the hands of Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren until and had borne no children. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold now, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines." That is the word of God today. This week, we are celebrating 25 years of our children's choir, the Couronne de Vie. 25 years is to say there is a great work done by God himself, but also children and their parents. So today we are talking about parents. We are not all parents, but we pray that all of us will be parents one day. Today the theme is consecrated parents, channel of blessing to their children. Consecrated parents. To be a parent is to say you are consecrated. You are consecrated by God to be a parent. Consecrated by God himself. We are consecrated, and we also consecrate ourselves to him. So it depends on how you use the word. You are consecrated by God, but also you consecrate yourself to God, to serve him. And being consecrated as a parent is a full-time work. It is not a partial work. Is it to say that you bring the child in the world, you feed him, you educate him, and that is a full-time work? Don't take it as a partial work. It is a full-time. The parents are consecrated. That is to say they are dedicated. They are devoted themselves. They invest totally in children. And that they do that because they have been consecrated by God. The first thing we are going to talk about today to understand this theme is that God reveals his mission to parents. God reveals himself to parent and tell them his mission, which they are going to carry out through their children. And when you go through the Bible from the beginning, you find that God was talking to parent since the beginning. You read Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. The Lord says to the first parents, and that is Adam and Eve. He said, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and birds," everything. So God reveals himself to parents. And when he reveals himself to parents, he gives them responsibility. The responsibility we read here, what he's giving to Adam and Eve, is good governance, dominion, and not abusing or destroying, but management. So God reveals, and you can find too many. I'm going to show some parents in the Bible who met the Lord who is revealing to them. Let us take Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. We read that God is revealing himself to Abraham and says the following: "You will no longer call your wife Sarai, but her name shall be Sarah, because I will bless her and I will give you a son by her. I will bless him and he will become nations. Kings of peoples will come out of her." God reveals himself to Abraham and tell him his mission through his offspring. That is one example we can take. And when we take Luke chapter 1, verse 13, God reveals himself to Zechariah. And we read the following: "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." And then he gives to Zechariah the responsibility and say, "And you will name him John." That is a great responsibility, naming your son, giving the name to your son. You may think that is very simple, but it's a great responsibility. Yeah, and parents may understand that. It's not easy to give a name to a son or to your daughter. And you may find it that it was very difficult when you go to verse 58. Luke chapter 1, verse 58. We read the following, that her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord has shown mercy to Elizabeth, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah. They did not call him John. They called him Zechariah after his father's name. But his mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." And they said, "There is no among your kindred one person which is called by this name." And they made the signs unto his father to know what he wishes to call. Then Zechariah asked for tablets, and he wrote, "John is his name." And everyone was astonished. So it is not easy. These people have some problems to explain to the neighbor that the name of the son will be John, because there is no John in their family. So it is possible to be misled by neighbors when you want to carry out the mission which is given by God. When you read also verse 30 and 31, you find that God reveals himself to Mary. And it is written, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and you will give him the name of Jesus." That is also another responsibility. Give the name of Jesus to this son. And you know that when you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the same thing was given to Joseph, that you will have a son. Mary will have a son, and give him the name of Jesus, because he's the one who will save his people from their sin. So you may go through the Bible and find too many parents and find that God reveals himself to parents when he has a mission he wants to do through their offspring. Then let us come back to our text of Judges, chapter 13. The Bible says that The people of Israel were going through a chaotic situation, a very difficult situation. We read that the Israel displeased the Lord, and because of that, the Lord delivered them into the hands of their enemies, Philistines. Notice that the time, that difficult time, took 40 years. They went through a chaotic time of 40 years, not one or two, 40 years. And when they were going through a very difficult time, at the same time, the Lord was planning to save them through a couple of Manoah and his wife, who also were going through a chaotic time of sterility. So while the people, Israel, is going through a difficult time, God plans also to save them through those who are going through difficult times. And our second point today is that God has no favoritism when he chooses someone. He is choosing a couple, a certain couple. That is to say that he can choose any of you here in Gomaville to save this church, to save this country. So Manoah was not a good couple. Manoah was not a known couple. Manoah was just living simply in Zorea. And he was chosen. As I said, God can choose you to save the DRC. Through simple people, he can save the country. He can talk to you as he revealed himself to Adam, to Abraham, to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph, to Hagar, too many people in the Bible, because he wanted to go through them and reach his vision and reach his mission. But also, he can just choose someone without sending an angel to you. When we read the Bible, God knew that Joseph, the Joseph of Egypt, he knew that Joseph is going to save Hebrews. But he did not talk to Jacob. Jacob, the father, knew nothing. God, he knew that Moses is going to save the Hebrews from the hands of Pharaoh. But he did not talk to his father, Amram, and Jochebed Hamada. So don't wait for an angel. God can just choose, decide, without sending an angel. Today, parents must understand that they are set apart, they are consecrated, and that they are already chosen by God, so that they may be the channel of blessing for their offspring. Another element we can find in this second point is that God does not show favoritism, because he can choose any kind of person. He can choose a man, he can choose a woman, he can choose a child, he can choose a young. When you go through the book of Judges, if you take Judges chapter 6, verse 15, he chooses someone called Gideon. And when you read this verse, you find how Gideon is responding to the call of God. He says, I am the weakest of the tribe of Manasseh. My tribe, my clan is the weakest. And myself, I'm the least of the family. So how come that God can choose me? That is Gideon. Just a man, a simple person. The weakest and the least. And when you read chapter 11, when you read chapter 11, verse 1, God is going to use someone called Jephthah. And the Bible does not hide the identity of Jephthah. The Bible says that he was just a warrior. And he was also a son of a prostitute. That's what the Bible says. So God chooses the son of a prostitute. He is free when he chooses someone. And that is Jephthah, just a son of a prostitute who is a warrior. And he's chosen to be a judge. Then when you read chapter 4, now you find that God can choose a woman. And that is Deborah. He is a woman and he becomes a pillar of victory at the level that the commander Barak said, if you come with me, I will go. But if you do not come with me, I will not go. So God is free to choose a man, a woman, young. And then the text we read is that God can also choose an infant, a kid. Just a simple and vulnerable person, a child. And that is the story we were reading in chapter 13, that he said, I'm going to save you from this chaotic time of 40 years, but I'm going to send a son. And that is what we read through the Bible. Because when God wants to start a great nation, he talks to Abraham, I'm going to send a son. And he sent Isaac, a simple son, to start a great nation. When God wants to save his people from 400 years of slavery in Egypt, he sent a son, Moses, to Amram and Jochebed. When God wants, is seeking for a spiritual change in Israel, he sent Samuel. Samuel to Anna and Elkanah, his husband. When God sees that his people is besieged by Syria, he said to the prophet Isaiah, this will not happen. But see how I'm going to change the situation. When you read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Lord says, I'm going to give the sign. And he said, behold, the girl will conceive and bear a son, and she will be called in the name of Emmanuel. So when the situation is very difficult, the Lord says, I'm going to send a child to save you. Someone may say, but we are going through a difficult time and we want somebody who will fight our enemy today. But how come that to respond to our problem, then you send a child? And that is the situation of Judah. Judah, when they were expecting to receive a Messiah, then the Lord sent a child who was born in isolation in Bethlehem. And people didn't even know when Jesus is born. It is only angels who said he is born in Bethlehem. So you see how God can choose. He can choose a man. He can choose a woman. He can choose a young person. He can choose a child to save us, to save the country, to save the church. So parents, do not neglect those children, those weak people who are in our hands, those vulnerable people. Those people, those children are chosen, are the chosen person of God. He wants to reach his objective through them. But if we understand that we are consecrated, then we will work, we will invest in them so that we may carry out the mission of God through our children. Let me take the last lessons from this couple of Manoah and his wife. And the first thing we have read in this text is that God decides to reveal himself to the woman and not to the man. Yes, God is free. He does not show and send the angel to Manoah, but to the wife. And someone may ask the question, but why? God is free and sovereign. He knows why he decided to choose the wife and not the husband. But the good thing is that when he reveals himself to the wife, The wife does not hide the information. The wife does not hide the revelation. She goes to her husband and share the revelation that I've seen someone sent by God to us, and this is the message he sent to us. This wife is like Zechariah. You remember we talked about Zechariah, who was mute. He could not speak. But even if he could not speak, he shared the information to his wife that the son will be called John. So the good thing is here that when God reveals himself to you, don't hide the revelation. Behave like the wife of Manoah, who was able to go and share the blessing to her husband. That is the first lesson. The second lesson is the reaction of Manoah when he is told that I have seen the angel of God. And this is the message. In verse 8, we did not read that verse. Verse 8, Manoah said, Ah, Lord, may the man of God whom you have sent come again to us. Underline that, to us, and not to me. So Manoah associates himself to the revelation, which starts by the wife. So he says, may he come again to us and not to me. And you can find that there were a relationship between Manoah and his wife. And the following says, and teaches us what we should do for the child that will be born. So Manoah was ready to learn, to be taught how we are going to raise the child. He did not say, as he revealed to you, let him come and reveal also to me. No, but he said, let him come to reveal himself to us. So he associated himself to the revelation, which can reach the family through one of them. Notice also that the child who is going to be born will be totally devoted to the Lord. Someone may say that this child do not belong to them. The child will be totally consecrated to the Lord. So these people are committing themselves to the mission, knowing that the child does not belong to them. And that's what happened to Mary and Joseph. You remember the day they were looking for Jesus, and they told him, we were looking for you. It took very, very long time, and Jesus said, how come that you were looking for me? You don't know that I have to work for my father. A Congolese parent may say to Jesus, are you saying that we are not your parents? Because he said, don't you know that I have to work for my father? So Manoah is committed here to this plan of God, knowing that the son will not belong to me. The son will be consecrated totally to the Lord. And that should be our understanding. As consecrated parents, our children do not belong to us. When you invest in children, keep in mind that those children do not belong to you. Prepare them to be important, to play a role, not for selfish interest as a parent, but to work for the church, to work for the country, to work for the society. Our problem is that we think those children belong to us, so we invest in them with selfish interest. But let us be like Manoah and his wife, that those children, this child will not belong to you. he will be totally consecrated to the Lord. Let me take the last lesson. I know that our time is running. And that last lesson, we find it in verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Now take heed, drink neither wine nor strong liquor, nor eat any unclean thing. For you will conceive and bear a son. The razor will not pass over his head, because this child will be consecrated to God from his mother's womb, and he will be the one who will begin to deliver Israel from the hands of Philistine." So being a consecrated parent calls for sacrifices, called for abstinence. Too many abstinence. Don't drink. Don't eat. Don't race. Don't. You cannot be a consecrated parent and you have no sacrifices for your children. It is not possible. And I think today the list may be long than what is written in this verse. Can we add other thing from don't eat, don't drink, don't raise his head? What can you add? Don't enroll your child in any kind of school. Does it fit today? Yes. That is another abstinence, sacrifice. Another abstinence. Don't buy any kind of book for your child. Don't send him in any kind of family, any kind of area. Don't expose him to empire social media. Don't follow any kind of channels, television. Don't. If you want to be a consecrated parent, that's what the word say to you today. You need too many sacrifices and abstinence. And if you will behave like that, then you will be like Manoah and his wife. I think that we can stop the sermon of today here. That the Lord sets apart every parent, even the parent of Jephthah, because Jephthah is important, can play the role for the church. We may not understand, and that's why our church understands that very well. When we dedicate children, we take all children because we know that God can use them for the sake of the gospel and the church. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
Thanks, Dr. Muyonga, for this powerful message.